Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Oh, look who it is. Ravishing Rohit Raju, the Desi Hitman, the Mocha Skin Manimal, the future two-time X Division champion. And you are here with my homies at 8-Bit Suplex Podcast. Some of the best around. You better be listening, Nimrods.
All right, hey, thanks everybody for tuning in for a really cool special edition bonus episode of 8-Bit Suplex. This is the first of the kind that we are getting to do here. I'm, of course, joined always by my co-host, Sandy Gaviria. Sandy, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great. About to be doing really great because we're sitting down now over this Zoom call with the one and only Rohit Raju. Rohit, how are you tonight?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys tonight?
Man, I am doing amazing. Thanks to you, Thank you.
Yeah, Rohit, I'm sure you haven't listened too much to the podcast. I know it's probably one of your favorites. But, you know, if you have tuned in, this podcast, we are huge fans of Rohit Raju. Everything that you do, we're very dismayed that you are not currently the X Division champion, but we know that you're going to get back there. So we're not worried about that at all.
Okay, cool. Good. We're all on the same page. That's awesome.
Yeah. Actually, Josh, you know what we should have done for the introduction? Before you said his name, we should have done my regular line. So in the podcast, every episode, I am like, I've said it. I was like, I'm so thankful. I think during Thanksgiving, I was like, the thing that I'm most thankful for this 2020 is starting this podcast, watching Impact, and discovering my new favorite wrestler. So not to kiss your ass or anything, but I honestly mean it. And every time I talk about you, I'm like, that's my man, Rohit Raju. And then this whole thing happened. Yeah.
You can't tell, but the I'm blushing there a little bit. I appreciate it.
Oh. That's so great. That's great. But yeah, no, thank you again for being here, Rohit. We try to keep it kind of loose on here. A lot of times we kind of fly off the seat of our pants a little bit. Yes. And so, you know, we do have, you know, I'm sure we might pick your brain a little bit here about kind of how you got started in the business, you know, aspirationally where you're looking to go for, and kind of some, you know, things in between. But really, we want to hear from you and kind of, you know, what's going on, plans for the future, you know. Obviously X Division champion again, but maybe, you know, something else down the line, you know, Impact World Championship,
right.
You know, or hey, you know, we hear that the AEW championship hanging around there. So maybe you want to step in there with Kenny Omega, but anything, and everything, we just want to hear from you.
Cool. And let's do it. I like to, you know, we can start off structured and just see where it takes us.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, if you want to, Rohit, you know, kind of real quickly, like what kind of got you into professional wrestling? What kind of inspired you to be in this industry, and where do you kind of pull your inspiration from?
Well, as a kid, when my dad was flicking through channels, I came across professional wrestling And of course, you know, I'm seeing these larger than life characters jacked out of their mind, you know, just super loud, and each character is something different. So I instantly gravitated towards that, and I never stopped. I had all the action figures, and when I was a kid, I used to have this big gray teddy bear that I would wrestle, and my mom's recorder, when she would go to school, she would record stuff. I would use that, and I would record myself cutting like the promos, doing the commentary as I would wrestle this big bear. And I never stopped. As I got older, I just loved professional wrestling. I used to take G.I. Joe guys and unscrew them in the back, and then I'd put different pieces together to look like wrestlers. So I was always involved, trying to be involved in wrestling. And then, of course, I used to backyard, and then we found someone that was doing training. I always wanted to train, but I couldn't afford it at the time, where I was working a full-time job, so I couldn't go train. And then I found a place in Flint, Michigan, which was like – well, actually, it was Davidson, so it was an hour away from me, this guy by the name of Xavier Justice. And I knew Monty Brown at the time, and I asked Monty, I said, hey, is this guy legit? And he's like, yeah, he'll be able to tell you the basics, teach you your basics. He's really good. Go check him out and learn, and then you have to go further and venture out. And that's what I did. So I learned from him. I got cleared, started wrestling. Then I went down to the House of Truth. I would clean up my technique there and learn more things. Just started going to seminars, just started traveling more, getting advice from my peers. Years later, I went to the Border City School, the Can-Am Dojo, Scott DeMore's place. This was before he was with Impact. And I started to learn under the tutelage of Johnny Devine, Johnny Bravo, Phil Atlas, of course, Scott DeMore himself. So myself and like Jake Something, Idris Abraham, Joel Coleman, those were all Michigan guys. And we started traveling up there just to, I guess you could say, evolve our game a little bit, which helped. And then getting to know Scott, Scott went back to Impact and he's like, hey, I have an opportunity for you. We need somebody. And I know, you know, Idris, so we're going to see how you guys team up together. So I had a shot there. I wrestled a few matches and I did real well. I wrestled Garza Jr. It was a tag match. It was us versus Garza Jr. and Laredo Kid, and Jarrett was in charge at the time. So he liked me, but nothing ever came of it. And then they had the Impact gut check, where it was called, at the time it was the Global Forge thing, because Global Force or whatever it was, they were a thing before they separated. And I ended up winning that. And then I still wasn't signed. I had tapings in Ottawa and I remember I did really well. And then I got a call in December and Scott DeMore was like, hey, we all thought you did really well. We want to offer you a contract next time I see you, and the rest is history. So that's pretty much how it started. And now, you know, we're here now. This is where it's going.
That's awesome. So I wanted to, I remember I was reading about like your background and kind of wanted to get more familiar with your work, because I'm going to be honest with you, before this podcast, not too much of watching Impact Wrestling. So I've been catching up, see what I've missed, tons. So I know prior to your signing in at Impact in 2017, you know, you did you put in that work in the indie circuit for about 10 years, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Mm-hmm. How was that experience for you? Do you have any crazy stories that you want to share with us? You know, you say you kind of worked your way to getting to train with Scott and getting that contract, but how was that experience for you working the indies?
It was rough. It was bittersweet. I was doing, at the time when I started, I was still doing mixed martial arts as well. So I was really trying to see what was going to take off. And the mixed martial arts was harder because I could only go one day a week. So where I was good at what I did, everybody else was improving. They were like college kids or high school kids, and I was working. So it was just like I couldn't get there enough. And I would work on stuff at home, but trying to spar with people. You need to spar with people, grapple with people. And I had a couple of cage fights. I was one-on-one. It was fun, but it wasn't going to go anywhere. Wrestling started to go somewhere. I was really cutting my teeth. And I think it was like 4 or 5 years in, I went to a Ring of Honor seminar. And I was like, well, I'll see how I am. Ring of Honor is like one of the top places right now. So we'll see. And I remember I cut a promo in front of Kevin Kelly. And he used my promo as an example to everybody. And I was like, that's big. And then I wrestled. And Delirious was in charge at the time. And he loved my intensity. I had really good character work. And I remember asking him at the end of the seminar, I was like, hey, I know you told everybody, you know, you gave everybody kind of like a massive feedback. What personal feedback can you give me? And he gave it to me. And so the next time I went to the seminar, I got a match. I got booked. And then I kept getting booked with Ring of Honor here and there. My name got thrown around the top prospect tournament. Nothing ever happened. And then I was like, man, you know, I don't, maybe nothing will happen because Impact wasn't in the cards at the time. And I was just hustling, trying to find my spot in the Indies, trying to make a name for myself. And I was always kind of low key. There was nothing really popping off. And then kind of when I went to Impact, it gave me a boost a little bit, but I wasn't a main player. I was still like lower level guy. So no one really cared about Rohit Raju. It wasn't until I did my stuff, my Hakeem Zayn stuff with AAW, when I was doing like the Hustle and the Muscle and I was cutting these promos and Karam and I were running in and beating people up. That's when people started to take notice, even though that was probably like 10 years in. So it's been a grind. It's been a hustle, but it's starting to pay off. And I won't lie, it feels tremendous. I love it. Absolutely love my 2020 as far as professional wrestling was really, really good.
Huge year for you, and I'm so happy for you because 10 years doing, putting the work in, and finally like you're the, what's it called, the fruit of your labor finally. Oh, so exciting.
That's really and like Sandy said, you know, we're both longtime wrestling fans, and we were, you know, somewhat I wouldn't say ignorant, but we didn't watch Impact on a regular basis until our good friend Jeremy Donovan kind of heads up our podcast network, has a show on the network, and I was talking to him about putting more content on. He's like, well, we don't have someone covering, you know, this promotion or that promotion, and we don't have someone covering Impact. So I was like, oh, well, I'll do it. And then I was like, I'm going to give Sandy a text and see what's going on here. And from day one, like, we could tell that you were a performer that really just loves professional wrestling. And it just jumps off the screen at you. And we noticed, like, there's some people over the years that, you know, you can kind of tell when they're not in it. They're kind of mailing it in. And since we've been watching since about Slammiversary and covering and doing the podcast, I've never seen that from you where it's anything but 110%. So my question is kind of, you know, how do you – every time the lights turn on, every time the red light comes on the camera, where do you draw that from, regardless of the day you're having, to just come out and really just, especially in an empty room right now, given the 2020 pandemic, how do you dig deep and still go out there and put on these excellent performances?
Passion. And like you said, it's love for it. I've just always loved professional wrestling ever since I first saw it as a kid. And you get to be something and someone different for like 10, 15 minutes. And for that 10, 15 minutes, all eyes are on you. And it's up to you to create this world, create this scenario, create this character that people are invested in. And it comes so easy for me and naturally because I love what I'm doing. There was a point in time in Impact where I was like, they're never going to do anything with me. And I was getting so frustrated. And then out of the blue, they opened up the gate. And I was like, you know, is it good for me to run out of the gate? And boom, you know, I ran out of the gate. And it felt great. It was just like, finally, this feels so awesome. And I just always want to improve. I almost have like this chip on my shoulder where I always have something to prove. And because I felt like I've been overlooked for a long time. And I do appreciate what you said, like, you know, you look like you always give 110%, and I do, and I feel like I do. And if I don't, I'm very upset with myself. Or if something happens that I don't like in the match, it literally will bother me until I wrestle again, because I'm very passionate about professional wrestling and what I do, whether it's the promo, whether it's a certain look I give when I'm out in the ring. And I don't know where the inspiration comes from. It's just this drive of being successful at what I do. And even when I'm like lifting weights or in the gym, I'm always trying to improve myself. I'm always trying to look better and be better and perform better. That translates into professional wrestling. It's just something I'm very passionate about, something I love. And so my focus is there. And it's almost like second nature for me to shift gears and give it my all. You know, I guess that's the best way to explain it.
Hell yeah. I think that pretty much nails it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And hey, yeah, I wanted to ask you, Sonia, you were talking a little bit about your character work. You have your persona. It's very old school type heel without being the stereotypical Indian, he's a bad guy just because he's foreign, right? I'm foreign too, and I want to be like Ricky Steamboat babyface for the rest of my life. Yes. So I admire that so much about you too, because it's not just like, oh, just because I'm Indian, I'm a bad guy. Like, no, you're able to kind of take in that old school character work for the heel work and your promos, and it goes a lot into what you do in the ring as well. Do you have, I know you mentioned your passion being your driving force to do this, but what kind of who do you look up to from when you were growing up? Like any kind of like heel character that you loved and you're like, man, that's the type of heel that I want to be like?
Macho Man Randy Savage is by far my favorite professional wrestler. To me, all the boxes get checked with him. He can perform in the ring. He can tell a story. He can talk on the mic. He acts larger than life. You know, his charisma is just over the top. He can cut the promo, and he looks like a million bucks. To me, that's what I want to be like. Professional wrestling nowadays, it's hit this where, like, I always see a lot of people say, well, he's not an X Division guy because I don't do flips, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. Well, to be honest, I don't want to do that. We'll leave that for TJ. We'll leave that for Chris Bay. We'll leave that for everybody else that's in the X Division. I want to be the guy, while you guys are trying to do the tower spot, the triple power bomb or something like that, I want to be the guy that ruins it. Or I want to be the guy that picks his spots. I want to get under your skin. And to me, you remember moments, especially now with social media. You'll see like a GIF of someone doing something really cool, but then a week later, you'll see something even better. And it's like you almost forget what happened. It's still maybe there. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. But, like, it doesn't come to your mind. I'll never forget a Ric Flair promo when he was, you know, when he came back from getting fired. I'll never forget Steve Austin coming out with the beer truck. I'll never forget Austin 316. I'll never forget If You Smell. I'll never forget those, you know what I mean, the Hogan right. cup in the ear or Macho waving the fingers. These are things I'll never forget because they're moments and they're created. I love having great matches. Absolutely. I love going in there and being able to tell a story in the ring and be able to, whether it's catch as catch can or have really cool spots or sequences. I love that. I absolutely love it. But what I love more is on Tuesday night, if I have a promo or a match, the fans cuss me out and they can't stand me because that's the response that I am going for. And you'll remember that. You'll remember the ugly shirt that I wore, you know what I mean? Or you'll remember how I reacted when I was told that I wasn't going to get a shot or get a shot. You'll remember that. That's what I want. And Macho Man to me was the one that fired on all cylinders. And I'm a very big fan of like guys like that, him, Austin Rock, Cena, Flair, Dusty. Those are guys I'm big fans of because 30 years from now, we're still going to be talking about them. Whereas we probably won't be talking about some of the cool matches that we've seen, we're going to be talking about the moments that we remember. And that's what I try to create, our moments. So, you know, my style of wrestling isn't everybody's cup of tea. Well, who cares? I don't care. Your cup of tea sucks. You know what I mean? Or Rohit would say that, but that's just your cup of tea and subjective. I do feel like a lot of fans nowadays are very elitist. Oh, we don't like Impact because it's Impact, even though you've never watched it, or you try to insult it because everybody else jumps on the bandwagon of insulting it. That comes with society today with like social media and stuff like that. If it wasn't for wrestling, I wouldn't even have social media. When I watch people complain about stuff, whether it's politics or movies or some form of entertainment, it's always like an elitist group. And if you don't agree with this, you're wrong. Or if you say this, you're canceled or this, that, and the other. And it's almost to the point to where it's too much. Just step back and enjoy what this person brings to the table. What they bring to the table, they do it well. You know, there's always someone that's going to be something different. And that's what you want. I don't want every person to be the same. I don't want someone to be able to do what I can do. So therefore, my promos, my in-ring persona, I want to be able to do that better than anybody else, and that's how I stand out. And I'm hoping I give you moments to remember, like me double stomping Jordan Grace but screaming equality before I do it. That's a moment. That's what I want you to remember. So, you know what I mean? Even if you loved it or hate it, that's what I want you to remember. And I want you to almost like, is this guy really that big of a jerk in real life. I want you to kind of wonder that, you know, if you ever talk to me, you know, that's not true. You know, let's not put that out there, but yeah.
Hey, listen, we don't get that many downloads. So your secret is probably safe with us.
Oh, get out of here.
You gotta change that.
Yeah, for sure. But just a quick follow-up off of that, Raheed. You mentioned Jordan Grace, and I've often wondered this, and I've told this to Sandy. I don't think that I would want to be at the other end of a dark alley with Jordan Grace at the other end. I'm pretty intimidated by her.
She can probably whoop you. She's tough. She's strong. Strong as an ox. So, yeah, I was hoping sooner or later that we'll circle back around and have a thing, because I think there could be a great story to be told there and money to be made. So hopefully that'll happen sooner or later, because she has a huge fan base and I would just honestly love to crap all over them. So that'd be really fun.
I love that. I love that you have to end that with that part there.
Of course.
Now, hey, no, you mentioned, you know, people being elitist and, you know, saying, oh, you know, who's going to watch Impact? But now, you know, we see a lot of those, that fan base, saying, hey, well, let's give it a second chance because of this AEW situation they have going on. I want to get your thoughts on it. And then what do you expect to come out of this? Because right now it's a huge time in wrestling where the fans are like, we didn't know this was possible for two big companies to work together. Now you guys kind of have a rivalry and it's hooking people in. Like the numbers on Twitch whenever Impact goes on Tuesdays, huge compared to what they were a few months ago, you know. And it's such an exciting time, especially for Impact. We're really excited about it. But what are your thoughts on it? What do you see happening coming out of this in the future?
I thought it was one of the coolest things in professional wrestling. As a kid, you always wanted to see a crossover. So when Kenny shows up on our program and next thing you know, we're having a 6-man tag for our main event and you have their world champion versus our world champion. And boy, did they put on a show. It's fantastic. And I hope it brought more people in. And I'll see a few times people will say, you know, I came to watch the AEW crossover, but I stayed for so-and-so. That's really cool. I think there's talent in professional wrestling no matter where you look. There's always going to be someone that's really good that you're probably going to like. So it doesn't matter if it's on Impact, doesn't matter if it's on Ring of Honor, WWE, AEW, doesn't matter where it is. There's going to be someone that you're going to like there. And by blocking that off, you're not giving yourself a chance. You're just hurting yourself. So I hope people got to see our wrestlers, because I really believe in our roster. And I hope they took away something good from that. And I hope they're like, man, these people are really good. We should probably be tuning in more. Also, someone asked me, you know, and they kind of asked me a similar question. I hope it leads to bigger things with AEW. I would love to get in the ring with like Sonny Kiss, Darby Allin. I would love to get dropped by Sting. That's like, you know, just be able to work with Sting. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I think that would be really cool. One of the cool things was, and I think it was such a class act move, he's one of the top guys in professional wrestling, but Kenny Omega made sure he walked around that locker room and he shook everyone's hand and introduced himself, which I thought was so cool, because you'll see some guys, they'll come in and they won't talk to anybody and they act like they're better than everybody else. Even some guys that are below you, like indie guys, they'll come in and won't even shake everybody's hand. It's just like, man, where's the respect at? Or maybe they just weren't taught that. I don't know. But I just think if I'm going into someone's home, I'm going to say hi to them. So I thought that was really cool that he did that. And as soon as he shook my hand, all I wanted to do was talk to him about video games. So we sat there for about a good 10, 15 minutes and just were shooting it. I was about to say it right there.
Okay. Hey, listen, we say whatever the fuck we want on this podcast, all right?
Well, there it is. All right, cool. we were shooting the shit about video games, and I just thought that was really cool. And, you know, picking his brain, we talked about Warzone, we talked about Ghost of Tsushima, we talked about old school Tenchu and Bloodborne and Sekiro and stuff like that. And it was just cool picking his brain, because I always knew he was a gamer, and I used to watch him when he was in Ring of Honor, of course, New Japan and DDT. So I thought it was cool to see him blow up, but I always knew he was a gamer. So if I ever met him, I said, well, I'm going to talk to him about video games. And we did. And he was really cool. And I thought that, to me, that I always respected his work. I always thought he was a fantastic professional wrestler. And he just came across as a fantastic human being as well. And that is, to me, that's just like, that's huge. Really huge. I thought it was awesome.
That makes me so happy to hear, because yeah, you hear horror stories, you know, you never want to hear that from one of your favorite guys. Like, oh, he's actually a shithead who thinks he's too good to say hello to people or, you know, show some simple respect.
Yeah, there's a guy named... Go ahead, Reed.
I'll go ahead.
Yeah, I was just
gonna... what I was going to say, Slammiversary, I'm sorry, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Go ahead.
I remember they told me, they're like, you know, you're going to do this segment with Heath. And I was like, oh, man, you know, he's coming from WWE. He's going to be probably like, oh, I don't want to do anything. He was so cool and thanked me the whole weekend about that. I thought it was so awesome. And he was like, what do you want to do out there? He asked me my opinion. He was down to do whatever I wanted. He tweaked a few things. And then when we got backstage, we talked, and it was funny because he was like, I was in your position before. New guy comes in. You're the guy that has to put him over. He goes, just keep hustling. Something will change. And the next thing you knew, I was Exhibition Champion. But to me, that was so cool because he was so respectful, and he realized the situation that I was in, and he was down for whatever. And that, again, that puts him up here, in my opinion, because he didn't have to do that. Guys like him, Rhino, that are just so giving when it comes to professional wrestling. It's awesome. It's awesome to be, because these guys are, they've been there. They've made the big money and stuff like that. So that's what you're trying to do. And the fact that they're so giving to you, knowing that you've been in their, that they've been in your spot, that's a huge deal. Cause I've met some real assholes. It's like, man, you are nothing and you're a jerk and you really don't have a reason to be a jerk, but you're being one. So it's like, you know, but guys like that wash the taste right out of your mouth, like the bad taste right out of your mouth. So it's really cool. They're great individuals in professional wrestling still.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, no, that is. No, yeah, and on that point, I just wanted to follow up with you real quick on that one. Because, you know, we have an ongoing joke about this on our podcast. Because at one point, I received a direct message from Tommy Dreamer on Twitter. And it's kind of been a talking point ever since. Anytime Tommy comes up on the show, I say, you know, he did send me a direct message on Twitter once. That's kind of my gimmick for, you know, one of the things that I do, right? We're best friends. You know, my last name is McLaughlin. His is Laughlin. I mean, there's some similarities. We're both kind of pudgy. But, you know, so you bring up the veterans, like guys like Heath and Rhino. It seems like there's a really good mixture right now in Impact where you guys have some, you know, the younger, you know, fresher faces like yourself. Your Chris Bays, you know, that kind of guys on the roster. And then you also have guys that have been around forever, like the Tommies, the Rhinos, the Heath. Eric Young's been there forever, you know, with a mini vacation in the middle. Eddie Edwards has been there forever. So can you just speak to kind of that that mixture of old and new kind of coming together, making this whole thing work?
I think that's the best formula for professional wrestling right now, is old and new put together. When you have people that know how to do, I guess you could say, the high spots in the more current style of wrestling, but then you have the people that know when to do it, that's what makes, to me, that's the formula. And once you mix that, I think TJP is a guy that does, I've learned so much working with him. And my confidence level has gone through the roof being able to work with him. First match I had with him, I was really sick. We were in Oklahoma. And I remember I just had a really weird vibe from him. But the match was good. I watched it. I was like, it was a good match. And then I remember working with him again. And it was easier. And next thing I know, I remember I went to my hotel room. And I thought about what he told me. And the next day I came back ready to call the new match. And he was like, I like that. I like that idea. So ever since then, he takes like it's not him dictating everything. It's us working together. And he knows how to do all the cool stuff, but when to do it. And he knows also what kind of story to tell. So to me, that's how professional wrestling should be nowadays. You're creating your moments, like me taking off his mask at Hard to Kill. But then you have the frantic, fast-paced action that we continued in that match. So to me, those are moments, and he knows when to do it, but he also knows when to turn it up a notch. And Eddie Edwards is the same way. Rich Swann is the same way. They know how to create these moments, but also have a killer match. So to me, that is what professional wrestling should strive to be. That's just my opinion. But I think when you're mixing the best of both worlds, you have a way better product. And when you'd watch like the best of matches with Elgin and Eddie Edwards, they were amazing. They were telling a story. They told it different every time, but they were just going balls to the wall and they were just working so hard. And but that it was like professional wrestling to a T. You know, they were giving you all the cool stuff that you wanted to see, but they were telling such a great story. And to me, that's it. That's the apex right now. And if you can recreate that, or if you can create that, that is your 10 steps ahead of the game, at least in my opinion. So those guys that you mentioned know how to mix the best of both worlds.
Awesome. You know, I think for watching Impact, you know, I think you've mentioned this a couple of times too. There seems to be this new energy in that locker room from these guys that are showing respect to you, like the newer people coming in and building this company. There seems to be some kind of energy in there. It's hard for me to say if that's true or not because I'm just watching from my TV. But how is that? How is that locker room for you, that feeling back there? Where do you see Impact in 5 years?
You know? Hopefully we'll be one of the top promotions again. I think we are now, but just we don't have the eyes on us. I think the product that we put out is excellent, but a lot of people just don't want to give us credit. The locker room, you have your vets, you know, that they know how to get the job done, but then you have those hungry guys. We're all hungry and we want to go out there and put on the best match. So I know myself, Chris Bay and TJ at Hard to Kill, we knew all eyes were going to be on Kenny, you know, and that match, we wanted to steal the show. And I felt like we did. Now, granted, that main event was wild. I still think our match was better, not taking anything away from those guys, because those guys are absolutely outstanding, all six of them. You know what I mean? Moose went out there and was just insane.
Insane.
I was just like, wow. And I remember telling him, man, that match was great. And then he was like, yeah, we watched your guys' match. We thought you guys were great. So I was like, man, the main event telling us that we're great, that we put on this match. And I remember seeing all the reviews afterwards. And I just felt like the story was there. It began with us three, and then it ended with us three. And it just felt right. So we are hungry. And that's how the rest of the locker room is. I can guarantee you Josh Alexander's hungry. No matter how beat up he is, he's going out there and he's trying to put on the best match that he can. Jake, same thing. He's going to do the same thing. I'm going to do it. Rich Swann is going to do it. Chris Bay, you better believe he's going to do it. TJ is going to do it. We're all hungry. And not only do we want to make ourselves stand out, but we want to make the company stand out. And we're doing it, you know, as one unit. So I think if we keep that energy, people will have, they won't be able to turn away from us within 5 years. We're going to be up at the top. And so we should be, you know, I think the product we're putting out now speaks volumes. If people would just take the blinders off and give us a shot, you know, they would realize that we're putting in some good work.
I absolutely agree. And you know what? Yeah. That's funny that you bring up those names, Josh Alexander, Jake, he goes by Jake something, right? Or cousin Jake. And those two guys, I've been putting them over on the podcast to the intensity that they bring. Josh Alexander now without Ethan Page, to me, he is going to be a breakout star as well in 2021. It's insane. Same with Jake, you know, having Cody Deaner, that feud that they have going on, him being as a singles guy now, it's going to do tremendous for their career. And I cannot wait to see what they have in store for them.
Yeah, and they're phenomenal athletes. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Jake on the indies, but he's probably, in my eyes, he's one of the best wrestlers today, especially one of the best big men. I can't wait for Impact to let him off the chain and just let him go. He will literally turn heads. He can turn heads physically, obviously, and visually. he'll be great. So I honestly can't wait to see where he goes. I hope 2021 is his breakout year. Underneath me, of course. But yes, I hope he...
Sure.
It was a great year.
Now, Josh, I think this is a good time to switch it over to video games.
Yeah,
unless absolutely. You have anything else you wanted to ask Rohit.
No, I mean, I'm hoping Rohit that you'll come on again and we can get more into wrestling stuff. You know, hopefully this is the first conversation of many. But we definitely, you mentioned talking games with Kenny. You know, I know TJ is a big gamer. He does some Twitch stuff. And obviously his previous entrance themes incorporated 8-bit music and stuff like our intro does as well. Yeah, let's switch gears a little bit here and talk video games. Kind of, you know, what's the first game you remember like playing? What did you fall in love with? Are you a Nintendo guy, a Sony guy? Like, you know, let's get into nitty gritty a little bit here.
Whoa, I think that was the first person the first question that we started when we started the podcast. It was like, what was the first memory of a video game? I want to hear yours.
I'm dating myself here because I had the original Nintendo, and in school we had these horrible computers at the time before we got better ones, and it had like Face Maker on it. It was some green screen. It was terrible, but back then it was fantastic, and you played the mess out of it. But original Nintendo, I was more of a Sega Genesis guy because it had Blood on Mortal Kombat. Super Nintendo did not. Sure. And I loved Sonic the Hedgehog. The first game that honestly blew my mind was Final Fantasy VII. It was Tekken 2 and Final Fantasy VII. I just remember for the PlayStation when Tekken 2, the intro, was so amazing to me at the time. And then when Final Fantasy VII came out, the graphics at the time, there was nothing touching it. And then the soundtrack. And then I was so broke. We were so broke. My mom had – all she could get me was the PlayStation and Final Fantasy VII. And I couldn't get a memory card at the time. Obviously, you need a memory card for that game. I played that game so many times without a memory card just because I loved it that much. Aww. Until I finally got one. And then you know, I'd leave it on. I'd go to school and I'd leave it on and come back and I'd pick up where I left off and try to. Then I'd be worried that I was going to overheat it, so I'd shut it off. I'm like, I got to see it again. That's okay. I know where everything is. I'm having a good time. I'll just level up more. And then that was one of my top ones. And then it bleeds into, man, what did I like for PlayStation 2? I'm drawing a blank, but there was a lot of great games for PlayStation 2. I loved Halo. I loved Halo 2. Gears of War, love the Gears games. Man, PS2, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on what I liked for that. Katamari Damacy was probably one of my favorite games for PS2. I actually downloaded it on the Switch. Red Dead Redemption 1 and 2, hands down, great games. Ghost of Tsushima, which I played recently. Witcher 3, Skyrim. I played so many freaking versions of Skyrim that it's insane. The weird thing is, as much as I love that game, I never beat it because all I did was I would just explore everything. Right, so I never beat it.
Yeah. Same.
Metal Gear Solid, the original one, when you had to take the controller out and put it in player two to beat Psycho Mantis, blew my freaking mind as a kid. I thought that was awesome. What was it, Soul Calibur 2? The intro to that was amazing. Of course, Mortal Kombat. Loved Mortal Kombat. I was more of an MK guy than Street Fighter. Ew, what else? Man, there's so much. Grand Theft Auto 5 was one of my favorite GTAs. Of course, the GTAs for PlayStation 2 were always great. But, yeah, I don't know. I can go on and on.
Who did you normally play as when you played Mortal Kombat?
Scorpion. Okay. It used to be Raiden. When I was growing up, it was always Raiden. I'd hit that backflip, dive across the screen, backflip, electrocution, down, up, you know what I mean? I'd always hit that. And then it was Scorpion. When Mortal Kombat 9 came out, Scorpion was easier to play with, and I was just getting back into a fighting game, and I could do some really good damage with him. And there was somebody else I would use, too. I can't remember, but Scorpion was my go-to, and I haven't played the new ones. I've wanted to just because they had all the cool like crossovers, like Predator, and then of course like Arnold was in it. I'm a huge Arnold fan, and then Leatherface, Jason, Freddy, the Alien, you know, the Xenomorph, and they had Rambo in it. I just, man, that stuff's so cool. RoboCop. I think that stuff's so cool, and I'm waiting on that movie trailer. Apparently, there's a movie trailer that's going to drop, so I'm waiting on that.
Yeah. I completely forgot they were making that movie.
Yeah, and I keep finding fan-made ones, so I'm just like, God dang.
those fakes are out there, for sure. I want to back you up real quick, Reed.
Oh, I did.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For PlayStation 2. I hated 3. I recently played 3, but Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 for PS2 were great. And yes. 3, I would literally beat that. I was not a fan of that game.
You two have very similar tastes in video games. Like, I am a Nintendo dweeb, and I have, like, a war against Sony. So, like, after the PlayStation 2, I stopped buying PlayStation. They always talk smack on Nintendo. They were like, when the Wii came out and the motion controls, Sony was like, nobody's going to play that. Nobody's whatever. And then they released their motion sensor thing that looked exactly like it. I was like, why are you guys talking all this shit and then copy them? So I'm at a war.
There's a slight difference, Sandy, in how PlayStation was doing theirs, because they had glowing bulbs at the end of their controller. It's a big difference. I do want to back you up, Rohit, real quick, because similar to you, there's actually not a game that I've played and spent more time with than Final Fantasy VII. It's a true story. I've talked about it on this podcast before. Just finding different ways to beat the game, finding new ways to, finding certain ways to level up properly, playing an entire game file just to figure out how to get the golden chocobo so you can get Knights of the Round so that you can, you know what I mean?
I never played.
That's okay, Sandy. Don't worry about it. She's way behind in JRPGs. It's a struggle for me weekly, Rohit, to talk RPGs with Sandy. it's all right. But yeah, so with Final Fantasy VII and yours and I love for Final Fantasy VII, did you get a chance to play with the remake that came out in 2020?
I did. I thought it was good. I didn't love it, but it's so hard to recreate the magic of the original 7, but I thought it was really fun. I even like 15 when 15 came out. I didn't think I would, but I enjoyed it. But no, 7 I really enjoyed. I like how they brought a lot of Crisis Core into it. I thought that was really cool, and I also like how they added some things to the story, so I thought that was neat too. I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it.
I think that's my most exciting part of it, is that we thought we knew how this game was going to go, right? We just thought, oh, we've seen remakes before. We've seen, HD remasters. We've seen, the whole thing, especially since, they'd already done an HD release for PlayStation Network for 7, 8, and 9. So I just figured they're just going to reskin it and then just ship out the same game, same turn-based stuff. I'm with you there. I really liked it a lot, and it leaves me wanting more. I mean, that's – I think when you're going to have a multi-part game, that's probably what you're shooting for, is that people spend $60 more than once.
This is true.
And I don't know how many times I rebought a Nintendo game. Spent hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, Mario Kart in every system. And it does get better and better. I won't, act like it won't. It doesn't. The Mario parties are hit or miss sometimes. I really enjoyed – what was the – Mario for the Switch. You had to do the whole thing with the hats. Was it Odyssey?
Odyssey.
Yeah. Odyssey was good. Was really good. Yeah, the Switch, I thought Nintendo actually, because I did not like, I liked the Wii when it first came out, but then I was like, man, they have a lot of BS games on here, a lot of filler. And then the Wii U, I was just like, nope, can't do that. And I thought the Switch was super amazing. I know, I thought the Wii U, I thought they dropped the ball with that. I didn't think it was a huge upgrade from the Wii, but the Switch, they managed to combine the Wii and the DS kind of together. And I was like, ooh, this is really cool. And I remember getting my hands on it. I was like, man, I kind of want one of these. And I liked it. I fell in love with it.
It's so great. Have you ever played Zelda by any chance?
The Zelda game? Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
Yeah. I played Breath of the Wild. That was really good. I enjoyed, and it's such an obscure one, was Minish Cap for the Game Boy Advance.
So I really good. Liked Minish
Cap. Yeah, Minish Cap was really good. Some other Nintendo games I really enjoyed were, and I played them, man, what I played them on the Game Boy Advance. It was the Castlevania. So Aria of Sorrow was excellent, like the Metroidvania style games. Sure. I remember playing the one on PlayStation 2, which was excellent, where you become, you find out that you're Dracula at the end, which was, that was awesome. Though the part two was not that great. But, and then I played the one on the 3DS, but I played the Game Boy Advance one so much. And then they had on the regular DS and 3DS, they had like, it was regular DS. It was Portrait of Ruin, Lament of Innocence, and then there was another one. I can't remember. Harmony of Dissonance, maybe? I don't know. But they were great. They were such great games, and I would 100% the map, and I would play the hell out of those games. So, yeah, I thought the DS and the 3DS were some of the best creations Nintendo ever brought out. Those were, man, excellent. But Minish Cap was one of my favorite
films. Yeah.
It was such an obscure one. But Breath of the Wild was phenomenal.
So good. So we actually just had an episode where we discussed our most, what's the word I'm looking for? What we're looking forward to the most in gaming in 2021, because the words
slipped my mind. What we're most anticipating, yeah. But the games that we're anticipating the most.
English is my second language. What games are you looking forward to the most in 2021? And also, do you have the new console, the new PS5, I'm assuming?
I do not. I wanted to wait because there was nothing I really wanted to play on it. The only thing I want to play in it right now is Miles Morales. That's about it. I was waiting. I was going to get freaking Cyberpunk, but it has so many glitches that I wouldn't wait. Sad. I mean, the game. Yeah, it's such a bummer because, like I said, I loved Witcher 3. And that, oh, man, open world game. I'm going to get lost in this. And then I saw all the issues with it. I was like, hard pass. And then I wanted to wait to get Spider-Man. But I might just pick that up or the new Call of Duty so I can play with Jake. But I don't know. Open world games are my bread and butter. So I might just do Spider-Man and wait. I know I want to get a new Xbox because I want to play the new Halo, obviously. But the PlayStation 5 is what I want next. I honestly don't know what I'm excited for because it's been really, I don't know. I honestly don't know even what's hot that's coming out right now. What's been announced? Is there anything that I'm missing? That's a huge
Resident Evil 8.
That's probably the biggest one.
The demo. Was the demo just dropped today?
For PS5 only. Yesterday. Yeah. PS5 only gets the demo, but they just released more trailers.
Oh, PS5 only gets that's a bomb.
Yeah.
Didn't they say they were going to release some demos like later on for other consoles? I can't remember.
Probably. Sony seems to have a pretty good agreement in place with a lot of the Japanese publishers to kind of get the early bird kind of attention. But yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because I think you could draw some parallels with the video game industry and the impact of COVID-19. It's similar to kind of how wrestling had to kind of start stop in a lot of ways. It caused massive delays because teams couldn't go in and develop games. They couldn't, you know, so I'm sure you couple that with like the case of Cyberpunk where I think Cyberpunk was originally supposed to release in like May 2019 was when it was originally announced.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine?
October, it was like,
so like you're talking, it's you take that and then now you have to push the crunch on the developers And, you know, it, like any artistic thing, I think if you put too much pressure and force too much on these people, you're going to have problems. All right. There's going to be things that are buggy, things that are going to slip. Large open world games always have bugs anyways. But just the fact that it's just, it's that much, it's just, it's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame because I was really looking forward to that. I'm hoping they fix it soon. And I think, yeah, I'm really wondering if Miles Morales will be my next pickup. And because I saw, like I said, that Kingdom Hearts was on sale, so I was really excited. And man, when I played it, I was so disappointed in that. It was just not great. Not good at all. But Miles, I heard nothing but great things about that. And I love the last Spider-Man game. I thought that was phenomenal.
So good. Absolutely so good.
It was.
Sandy never played it because she hates PlayStation, but, you know.
You are missing out on a lot of stuff.
No. I won't personally buy it, but if somebody wants to gift it to me, I'll play, I guess. But I won't support it.
Nice.
Yeah.
For all
your guys'
lists out there.
Yeah, listen, don't worry.
You mentioned Call of Duty earlier.
Oh, yeah, Sandy's a Call of Duty player.
We talked about it, too. You have to get it so we can play. So much fun.
Which one?
Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty Cold War.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right, because it's cross-play, so.
Mm-hmm. So much fun.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the next one. We'll see.
Yes.
I gotta brush up on my skills. I'm pretty horrible.
I was too, and now I'm killing it. So get ready.
Oh, nice. When I get cooking, I'm good. When I was playing with Jake, we were playing for like almost every night. I think when COVID started, and then I got really good. I was like, man, I'm getting good at this. And then I just stopped playing. I was playing something else. I can't remember what I jumped on, but yeah, I started playing something different. You know, I think I played Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order, which was really good. And then I played Ghost of Tsushima as well. But yeah, from there, I tried to get back on. I was like, man, I suck. So I'd have to warm up in Cold War.
Yeah,
gotcha.
you
but it's,
like,
doable. It's definitely doable.
Thanks.
As far as like online gaming goes, for me, it's a hit or miss thing because, you know, I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old and a wife, and I don't have time to get really good in the online space. Like I think probably like 10 years ago, I gave up fighting games altogether because, you know, I'm just getting my ass kicked left and right by 12-year-olds on the internet. But, you know,
I feel you, man.
I can imagine, pre-pandemic, you were doing a lot more traveling and that probably became harder to get good at games. Has your gaming increased this past year? Because you guys are doing tapings and then you kind of go back and forth that way. Is that kind of led to more of that? Or have you picked up any other hobbies in addition to gaming since you've kind of been doing this little bit of a different schedule?
No, I've always been a video game and, you know, a player. I've always loved video games since I was a kid. I used to work in the video game retail for like 14 years before I got signed to Impact. So I was management there. And so it was cool because we'd go like to the, we'd have what did they call them? Man, I can't remember. We'd go.
Like E3 and stuff like that, the game conferences.
That's what it was, just for the company. And we would go and we'd get to play all the new games and see all the new games before anybody else. Cause they want you to know about it. And then, you know, so you can tell customers about it and sell it. So
sure,
we got to see
pre-orders.
All that stuff. And conference is what it was. Yeah, exactly. Pre-orders, all that stuff. So we got to learn all about the game. So that was really cool. So I've always been into gaming. And usually I get all my stuff done during the day. And at night I'll sit down and play a game. And man, if it's a game I'm into, sometimes I gotta put it down because I won't go to bed till God knows what time. I'm like, oh, it's 5 a.m. Well, let me go get this treasure chest. There's this side quest. Let me go do that. Well, that looks like there's a dragon over there. I should probably go kill it. And, oh, what level is it? Oh, I go level up. Then I'll go. And then it's 6 a.m. So, yeah, then it's really bad. But, no, I didn't really pick up anything new. Honestly, when I have a half rack, which is it's weightlifting. So it's like squat. You can do squats on it. pull-ups. You put a bench in there so you can bench press. So my main goal was, okay, now I don't have a gym, but I do have some time on my hands. My main focus was to get in the best shape I could as soon as that way wrestling came back. I was in really good shape. So I felt like I was always in good shape, but I got in really good shape when COVID kicked in. And I've honestly just been, I hit the gym every single day, eat a lot cleaner than what I used to. And that's, I've always loved it. Like when I saw wrestlers or Bruce Lee or Arnold or, you know, any action hero, they're always in such great shape. And I remember seeing that and be like, man, I want to look like that. How do I look like that? So I was always enamored with like bodybuilding and fitness. And so now when I actually had more time, I could put more dedication to it. So that, I wouldn't say I picked up a new hobby, always a gamer, always into lifting. I did just put more into both. So, and I just kind of went with what I knew and got better at it.
Hell yeah. And you look shredded, by the way. So all that work paid off. Totally.
I'm trying to keep up with everybody and look better than anybody else that steps in the ring. So, and that's what I, and it's just one of my loves. I love it. I absolutely love trying to stay in shape and look the part and look even better than anybody else that I'm working with. So that's a huge inspiration of mine. So I appreciate that.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. So, I think I have like a couple like kind of rapid fire questions as we kind of get to the, towards the back end of this. And, you know, feel free to answer, feel free to just kind of, you know, abstain from answering. These are not anything serious. They're just kind of playful kind of, kind of who's this favorite kind of question. We'll start there, I guess. You know, favorite vegetable to eat.
What was it? I missed the first one.
Sorry. We're a little muddled sometimes. Like I said, we are not the Rohit Raju of podcast over here. So, what is your if Rohit's sitting down to take a snack on a veggie? What's your favorite vegetable to sit down with?
Ooh, that's tough. I would say I like baby carrots.
Sure.
I like broccoli if I'm eating it with like a steak. There were times that I wanted to just get a green, like veggies in my body. So I would take a cup of spinach and I would just eat the leaves, which is kind of gross, but I would, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he was like, well, I need a good chunk of greens today. So I would, okay, well, I'd put a cup in, I'd eat that. And then later on in the day, I'd put another cup in and I would eat that. When we would travel, sometimes I'd have a bag of spinach and I would just eat it. And just to get the greens in me. Celery's not bad either. But probably I'd say, one of my favorite things is in the summertime is grilled asparagus.
Sure.
Yeah. But I do like broccoli with my steak though too, if it's cooked right. I don't like it when it's really mushy. I like it more when it's cooked and still crunchy.
Thanks. I hear you on that.
Vegetable.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was raised on broccoli with nacho cheese over the top of it, and so that's why I look a little bit like Tommy, and not like you, Rohit. So,
it's still a vegetable. At least you're getting it in your system.
Right, I'm still getting my vitamins in. I've since ditched the cheese. I don't melt the nacho cheese. My mom took the approach of, hey, whatever works. And it may have just been also because she boiled it and made it really mushy, so it tasted like ass anyways. enough about that, because that, now I'm starting to have some PTSD flashbacks to my mother's cooking. Next thing, what is your all-time favorite wrestler's intro music?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Ooh.
Jeez, I would say, you know, when you hit the glass, that was your ass. I love Stone Cold's music. I think Hollywood Rock was one of my favorites. You know, that slow, and it was go, it's cooking. And then Rock would come out in like the vest and the shades. Whoa, baby. You know, the Rock, I just love that stuff. I would probably, man, I don't know. Could have been I'm a Real American by Hogan. Anything the Road Warriors came out to. Ric Flair's theme.
Sure.
for the longest time. Styles TNA theme, I loved that for the longest time. I thought Shinsuke's music was really sweet. But I don't know. I couldn't choose just one. There's too many. There's way too many.
It is tough. For me, it's Team Extreme. But it brings me right back to childhood. And then you just see Matt and Jeff come out. But yeah, all the ones you mentioned are great. Sandy, I don't know if I've ever asked you that question. Do you have one that you can just rattle off?
Dude, Adam Cole's theme song in the Indies is so good. And there's like an hour loop of it on YouTube. And I literally would just listen to it for an hour. It's the same thing for an hour. It's so freaking good. But yeah, Stone Cold was my favorite growing up. So of course, like that to me, whenever I hear that, I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, like you're
throwing clotheslines and Fez Press is like, that's right, you mealy mouth son of a bitch, take this. I just love, man, Stone Cold, boy. It's, anytime you run the glass and the roar of the crowd, you're like, oh, in the words of JR, business is about to pick up. You knew new shit was about to go down, so it was awesome. Especially if The Rock was on the opposite side of that ring, it was go time.
Absolutely.
That's probably my favorite feud right there.
Yes.
Okay, so that takes away that question. No, I'm kidding. That wasn't one of my questions. If you could wrestle anyone, past or present, who would it be that you haven't already wrestled?
Probably, yeah. I was thinking about him all the time. Yeah.
Macho Man's great. Great choice.
Austin, The Rock, or Cena, I think, would be, or even AJ Styles. I think those guys would be some guys I would love to get in the ring with. I would love to go back and forth with The Rock on the mic and Austin and just tell a story with those guys. I think Savage would be a battle of, like, intensity, which would be really cool. And then, like, AJ Styles would be, it would be awesome. And, like, Cena, all the guys would be such learning experiences. But I would take your pick out of that group of professional wrestlers. I think they're just some of the best that ever laced them up. So yeah, I would love to step in the ring with those guys.
That's great. And yeah, I mean, Sandy, you know, is, you know, she's wrestling tomorrow here locally. So if you ever wanted to, you know, make a run in and challenge and lay down the feud, I'm sure Sandy would definitely accept.
Drop you, just wham, drop you. You'd be done. You guys have, you guys are in Florida, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the Tampa Bay area. We're kind of in that hotbed of wrestling, so to speak, from the olden days. And you know, if you're from here and you're a wrestling fan, you definitely have a Terry story. You have a Randy story. I actually used to sell printer paper to Macho Man Randy Savage at an office supplies area. So, he was a real treat every time. He would try to beat me up for a discount on a $5 ream of paper. So, you can't knock the man for trying, you know.
You're gonna charge me this, huh? Man, you have to let me know the name of the promotion, because wrestling right now, especially up here, is very scarce. I find, like, there's nothing happening in Michigan. There's nothing happening in our old stomping grounds. So I finally got a chance to go down to Kentucky, where they had a small crowd, which was really fun. And I know my tag partner, Karam, he's been down back and forth to Florida. So, yeah, if you could, put me in contact. So I'll hit up that person. Oh, nice. Hey, let's make something happen. I'm just trying to work. We're actually going to Jersey next weekend. So we're literally kind of hitting up places that are not, they're usually pretty far away for us. But if we can find a spot where we can go. And I know, like he was saying, Florida, and I was telling him, dude, let me get some promotions that you know I've done in Florida. So please, if you could, send that my way, because I would love to hit them up and try to get down that way.
Absolutely. I mean, it's insane here. So tomorrow there are 5 shows that I know of within like a 20-mile radius of here, which is not 20, maybe like 50 miles, but it's insane. Definitely got to make your way down. And we love to have you. So I actually have trained with Jay Lethal at the Lethal Academy. And
he's awesome.
Yeah, he's amazing. He actually had Moose come and train with us one time, which was fantastic. And Gail Kim, of course, that's how I met her. My very first promo I ever did was actually in front of her being recorded, so that was terrifying. But she's a sweetheart. But yeah, we definitely got to have you. We'd love to have you around. I'll definitely give you some promotions. We'd love to see you down here.
Yeah, I would love that. I know, like I said, Karam's down there now. He's going down. I think he's going to Eddie Kingston's promotion pretty soon as well. So I was like, dude, let's go down there and do the hustle and the muscle. And we're just trying to work. Like I said, it's so dry where we are right now because of all the restrictions. So we're definitely trying to get back in the swing of things. I know there's stuff happening in Florida. So definitely trying to come down there and put in some work. So I approve.
That's awesome. And I just have one more for you, Rohit, and then we'll let you get out of here because I know we've got you for about an hour or so right now. But when Rohit Raju leaves the boots in the center of the ring, he wants his legacy to be what?
One of the most entertaining wrestlers that people will ever remember. Complete package, promo, the way he looked, the way he worked, the way he carried himself, larger than life. And I hope people remember that. And I hope people remember me a sliver of the way they remember all the greats that I mentioned, you know, earlier on this podcast. Just a sliver of that. If I could get that, that would be amazing. And I hope I can carve out a legacy in professional wrestling that people actually do remember and still talk about, and give people moments that they do remember and still talk about. That's the main goal, and to never be forgotten. So, you know, I want to be just like the people that I think about, and that's the path that I try, and that's my way of professional wrestling that I try to create and establish. So hopefully it gets over enough to where it is remembered and it solidifies me as one of the best.
I think that's awesome. I think
great answer. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think
you're already that in my eyes.
President company, notwithstanding, I think that you're definitely on your way to that, Rohit. Thank you again, truly, truly, for being a part of this, for taking the time to sit down with us. Go ahead and throw out all your plugs. Make sure if there's anybody that listens to this that doesn't know where to find you, they can go and find you.
Well, sweet. You can find me at Hakeem Zane. That is my Twitter, Raju Zane 80. If you look up the Mad Dragon or Hakeem Zane or Rohit Raju on Facebook, you can find me there as well. Of course, I have a YouTube channel, which I don't really do much with, but I've been hearing that I should probably do something with it. So we'll see what I can get cooking. Mostly my Twitter or my Instagram is where I'm at, posting, whether it's workout videos, any content that I can get for professional wrestling is what I usually do. And then, of course, ProWrestlingTees/Rohit. I just dropped the Mocha Skin Mando, which is me in Mandalorian armor. And instead of Baby Yoda and the baby thing, it is the X Division Championship belt. Actually, it's the Flex Division Championship belt, which is probably one of my favorite shirts of all time. And then I have a Wu-Tang design as well. Almost every wrestler has a Wu-Tang design, but mine is cooler, and it always sells real well. So that's where you can find me. And, of course, Access TV, 8 o'clock. Every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, on Impact Wrestling, causing a ruckus. I'm going to drop TJP on his big old head in about 2 weeks, non-title match. But you know what? I think I'm going to win that. I'm going to make my statement. Then finally, hopefully, Scott D'Amore, the King of Rohate, will give me a title match. And then we'll just keep this going. And then I will be the future two-time X Division champion.
Hell yeah. My man, Rohit Raju.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to that as well, Rohit. Of course, you can follow us on 8-Bit Suplex Twitter. It's at 8-Bit Suplex. You can follow me at Lavlin_Joshua. You can follow Sandy at Sailor Zelda. You could also buy the 8-Bit Suplex official t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees/Social Suplex. Make sure you're checking out all the shows on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Keeping a Strong Style, All Things Elite, One Nation Radio. We got a bunch of shows. I'm drawing a blank. It's late on a Friday night. But definitely, definitely, definitely go check us out. Rohit, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. No problem. See you later.
Thank you for listening to the 8-Bit Suplex Podcast. See you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.